Hello, hello. Welcome back to A Rip in the Veil, your safe place to discuss everything that makes you feel unsafe. And hello, I am happy to be here. Are you happy to be here? I hope so. I hope you don't regret clicking on my podcast. If you do, I don't want to know. Just leave me in my blissful ignorance. If you've been following me on Instagram, you probably know I took a break the past couple of weeks. It was really only supposed to be 1 week. But I think it turned into 2, maybe 3. You know, life happens, shit happens. If you didn't notice, well, don't feel bad, probably only like 5 people did. But we were finishing up a really stressful project, and honestly, I used to do this when I was working full time, and I look back and I'm like, how the fuck did I work 50 hours a week and still find the time? Sometimes it's just hard to find the 20, sometimes 30 hours needed to do all the research, record and edit, because editing takes me stupid amounts of time, but we're getting there. Other, you know, personal matters popped up, some family stuff, you know, I just needed a break. I'm working on pre-recording some episodes so I can bank them and that just doesn't happen again, but for now, just don't be mad, okay? Thanks. Before we get started, I just wanted to also give the disclaimer that my website is a little delayed. My computer crashes, like, literally every time I try to work on it. It crashed my recording software, Audacity, twice before I tried to record this today. I'm really trying to work on it, but it makes the process really hard because, like, I sometimes lose some of the things I've been working on. And Facebook hasn't been, like, a great place for me to post my links and show notes because it's kind of hard to, like, post them all in one place. It's still just not really the format I want, but you know. If you guys know any sites or stores to get like trusted, you know, used and refurbished laptops that can handle some audio editing and recording, I am definitely interested. On top of topic suggestions, please send me some laptop suggestions at my email, aritvpodcast@gmail.com, because I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. As per usual, of course, send me any suggestions and send me your stories if you'd like to be featured in an episode. Another side note before we get started, I would like to make listener episodes once a month. I want to do a virtual tour once a month. And I was actually thinking that I kind of wanted to do, I'm from the United States, but I was thinking of maybe doing like a, you know, the state's urban legends type thing. Maybe do that once a month. Okay, so that's like 3 weeks out of the month. So if that's kind of a schedule or there's some ideas that you guys would like and would look forward to, definitely let me know. But send me your stories so I can feature you. I did that for my last episode, episode 10, a couple weeks ago, and I really, really like sharing your stories. I feel like, you know, I like kind of getting that, like, those personal things in return. It makes me feel even more connected. So it's pretty darn cool, if you ask me. Now, this week's episode is actually a place that I've been through a few times. It's not a super famous place. It's not like it's been investigated by Ghost Adventures and Zach Bagans has yelled at any ghosts in this place. But it's an abandoned hospital called Glendale in Glendale, Maryland. There are definitely some mixed feelings on what level this place is haunted. Like I said, it's not super crazy famous, but I personally believe it is. I'll save my personal experiences for the very end, but no one can deny that a lot of people have died in this bitch, and it will at least give you the creepies. So Glendale was a tuberculosis sanatorium located about 9 miles from DC, which is the United States capital. With a campus about 210 acres. These hundreds of acres included 23 buildings for various things like housing, utilities, laundry, outdoor gardens, and a morgue and an incinerator. Now, I know what you're thinking. Incinerators are suspicious as fuck. Agreed. Well, these are only reported for being used to dispose of medical waste and not human. My experience, and a couple people were with me that experienced the same thing, makes me doubt that a little bit, at least to an extent. I'm not saying it's not true that like the incinerators were only used for medical waste. Of course, my imagination goes in a million different, you know, scenarios or whatever, but we'll touch on that later. So this place opened in 1934 due to overcrowding. There just weren't enough places to put all these people with tuberculosis. And the campus provided fresh air, sunlight, and isolation, the most commonly accepted treatments for tuberculosis at the time. Those with TB were ostracized. Patients were sent to sanatoriums and forgotten about. Relatives, you know, sent their own away and pretty much forgot about them. You know, if someone asks, oh, where's little Johnny? Oh, he's at a friend's house. No, he got fucking sent away and we're never going to see him again. That's the real story, Janet. As tuberculosis cases started to diminish with new treatments and medicine, Glendale eventually turned into like a long-term / chronic illness facility. Sometimes you'll see it's listed as like it was like a nursing home. But it did close in 1982 due to asbestos and just generally not being up to code. Now, the renovation would cost like a million, like literally millions of dollars. That's not an exaggeration. So it's been vacant ever since. But there have been companies looking to preserve and repurpose this historic site. So actually, in the couple recent years, it's been bought and they're doing some planning, yada, yada. So I'm actually curious as to what that's going to turn into. So when I personally heard of Glendale, I was told it was an insane asylum, but that is not true. But just to be honest, I am almost too interested in haunted asylums, and this episode has definitely re-sparked that interest. Be sure to share your favorite abandoned hospitals and asylums, because there's definitely going to be an episode of that kind coming up soon. It's one of those like odd fascinations that like you almost feel bad for being so interested about, like a guilty thing, you know. So somehow this place has a 4.5 rating on Google reviews. Ooh. Two of the reviews stated that they got EVPs when they went exploring, but it's important to note that this place is not open for tours. It's pretty strictly patrolled by security, actually. So just so you know, there are a couple websites out there saying that it's open. Like, literally Google lists it as open 24/7. It is not open. You can't go on tours or anything. It's actually not safe. Now, okay. Full disclaimer. Did I sneak into this place? Yes, twice. Do I recommend it? No. First of all, I went about 10 years ago, and most reviews say that within recent years, security has really upped their game and will find your ass. Someone even spent their weekend in jail, which I, you know, at the time I didn't even think of as a possibility. You know, you're young and dumb. And when you are super young and super dumb, you don't really care about getting caught. But it's really just not worth the legal stress that you or your parents, depending on your age, would go through. That shit is expensive. Like, empty your savings account, take out a loan, sell your kidney, sell your child. Expensive. And even if you didn't get caught, a lot of the reviews say that in recent years, the state of the building has really gone downhill. But even if you didn't get caught, and most likely you will, this place is incredibly run down. And I can tell you, it is really not safe. Asbestos sucks, obviously, but ceilings are collapsed, huge gaps in the floor, generally unstable structures, small gaps in climbing spaces that aren't safe, you know, unstable doorways and holes that other people have made. Some of the like places to kind of get to other areas of the hospital, they're surrounded by rusted metal, crumbling brick, there's debris everywhere. There was definitely one of the little entrances we went through. I think some guy got a nasty splinter because it was supposed to be boarded up. Someone took it down. There's crumbling brick. The metal, you know, the rusted metal, like jagged, like crawling through. Yeah, it's just, there is a lot. And if you saw my post on Instagram about this new episode, you will see, there's one of the outside of the building, one of the inside, I believe, is what I posted. I'm talking in the future, so I'm still deciding, but you can kind of see how run down it is. So, happenings. Again, this is not a super famous place. This is something that's more known to the locals of the area, so I'm kind of giving myself away. I've said before that I do live on the East Coast of the United States, and I do live within, a few hours of Glendale, so it's something that people more hear about. Like, I heard about it through people in high school, you know what I mean? So The most frequently recorded experiences are definitely disembodied voices, and some visitors even claim to have captured EVPs. I do recommend, if you wanted to kind of do, in a way, a virtual tour, there are a couple videos of people sneaking in, again, so you don't have to, and you can kind of look around and you can really see how bad of in shape this place is, but there is, I want to say it's Ghost MD, and it's M.D. dot, so I don't know if it's like for Maryland, I don't know, but anyway, they have a YouTube channel and they had a, like a little EVP that they caught. There are also claims of disembodied voices of nurses calling for a girl named Sarah that ran away from the hospital after needing a surgery. I saw one source that said the surgery was to remove her lung from tuberculosis, I'm assuming. But not many people or places, resources, whatever, claim to have heard that specifically. So the people I heard it from in high school, they knew a guy that was in the morgue of the place, and they heard some creepy shit. They got some weird pictures. I personally, I don't know why I didn't take any pictures. It's one of those things, you know, when you're listening to somebody tell a story like this and you're like, you dumbass, why don't you have any proof? Why don't you have any pictures? Why didn't you blah, blah, blah? I just wasn't thinking about it. Honestly, I was really interested in the exploring part, and I definitely literally slipped my mind to do anything like that. Now, another presence that is famous in this area is called the Goat Man. Not to be confused with the Goat Man that's, I think, in like Texas or something. He has a bridge, like the Goat Man Bridge. Well, this Goat Man in Maryland is also associated with Governor's Run Bridge, I believe it is. And again, it's one of those like locally known things, like a local urban legend type thing. I won't dwell too much on him because he's kind of like a whole nother story that I would like to do like a Maryland urban legends on, like go state by state. Now, just a little background on him. Originally, it kind of popped up in the area because people, like there were like a string of like really violent murders and like people finding their dogs decapitated and shit like that. And people saw this creature standing on their rear legs that like looked like a goat. Some say he's half goat, half man. Some say the Goat Man is like a angry, vengeful goat keeper. Not a goat keeper, goat farmer. My goat's keeper. And like all of his goats were killed or something. And he's like coming back for revenge. And he has a bridge of his own. Okay, like, it really does vary, so take that for what it is, but he is known to also enjoy the grounds of Glendale Hospital. That's not one I really heard of. That's more, like, me personally, I heard more of the Goat Man just, like, more associated with his bridge than with Glendale. So other than the EVPs, there are, you know, of course, you can, if you look online, you can find some pictures and stuff where people capture orbs. There was one I saw on Reddit. I'm not going to include it as a link or anything because I think it was pretty easy to debunk. It literally looked like a bird flying in front of the camera. So I didn't really think much of that. It kind of seemed, I love a good debunking. I think anybody that truly believes in the paranormal loves a good debunking because as I've said in the past, like, I think it kind of further validates the stuff that you truly can't explain. I'm going to start getting into my own personal experience. I know this is going to be more of a shorter episode. Again, it's not like a super famous place. I don't have a million and one sources to quote for this one where people have had all these different experiences. It is definitely more of a word of mouth type of place around here, but I've been there twice. My sister's been there twice. My fiance, he's been there twice. One of my other housemates, he's been there. I didn't even know he'd been there. We just started talking about it and he told me, he was like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. I think we all kind of snuck in the same way. Do not do it. You will get caught. As far as I've heard in recent years, pretty much everyone gets caught. So, you know, don't, you know, it's just not worth it. But we would like park in a neighborhood, kind of go in from the side, kind of behind the security little trailer thing they have set up. I remember when we went there, there was another group that was there one of the times. the second time I went, the people that I was with, and I talked to them to verify because I asked them if anything weird had happened, and they affirmed that no, nothing weird was happened because they were too scared to go in. So it was literally like we drove up there and we didn't even like get into the building. But in their defense, like obviously it's creepy, but also it really isn't safe. And I was like, oh yeah, we snuck in through this little hole. And it's like literally like boarded up plywood where you have to like get on your hands and knees and like, and they just weren't down for it. So the first time I went is where we had the most experiences. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I have a bird feeder right by the desk that I am recording, and it's an acrylic, like a clear bird feeder. This is completely unrelated. It just surprised the crap out of me. So a cardinal, like a bright red bird, just flew and landed, and it's like literally right in front of me, and it saw me and flew away, but it scared me just as much as apparently I scared it. Anywho, so when I went the first time, I was probably like 14 or 15. This is the one that unfortunately I am not in contact with any of these people except for my sister. The other people I went with were like two guys I went to school with that my, like, so it was my ex that I dated throughout high school, his friend that he worked with, and then that guy's friend, and the guy that my boyfriend worked with, ex-boyfriend worked with, and his friend went to my school. My ex went to a different school. So it's like we all like kind of knew each other, but the only person I was really close to was my sister and obviously my ex that was my boyfriend at the time. So I don't really talk to anybody other than my sister. So it's not like I can really, I didn't, you know, try to amend anything to ask and be like, hey, do you remember anything that I don't? So I'm just going to give you what I remember. I mean, we heard, so like I said, we kind of like squeezed ourselves through this. It was like a side door. There are multiple levels, like I said, like the floors and ceilings, you know, obviously they're related. There's floors and ceilings are in pretty bad shape, so there's only so much, like you can't get into every room. But just like generally, you know, hearing, like you'd think you'd hear whispering, shadows, just kind of just like weird, you know, you get the heebie-jeebies, but it's hard not to get the heebie-jeebies in a place like that. I remember feeling sad. Like, I just remember feeling sad, and I tend to, and I don't even consider myself really an empath. That's more my sister. But I do kind of get like more of a feeling like sometimes I'll be like, sometimes, you know, I'll get like a certain emotion, or I'll get like a male versus female, young versus old, good versus bad kind of feeling. And I just felt sad. Like it was kind of like when you're in a place where so many people have died, you know, even just somebody that doesn't get any particular feeling, they're not sensitive at all. I feel like most people would feel something. So I just remember feeling sad there. I just remember feeling a little bit hopeless. And that was honestly before I really knew how tuberculosis patients were treated. Honestly, I didn't really know that until I started looking into the history more, how ostracized they were. And I imagine being a nurse or doctor there, you're probably ostracized as well. Anyway, back to the exploration. So there's like, you know, bridges like and archways, and I mean, they really did make like a lot of like outdoor gardens. Like they really did, like this place was beautiful back in the day. But the main buildings, I want to say we were in either the children's ward. We were in some kind of like housing, like not housing, but you know, like where they held the patients type deal. Because it was like a bunch of rooms along a hallway, but like you couldn't even get into all of the rooms because like the conditions were that bad that like it just wasn't safe. Like you'd just be walking on like empty frames essentially with no floor beneath you. And yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I did not do that shit. One of the guys that we were with that my ex worked with, I want to say that he or his friend, they went down to the morgue at some point and they kind of thought that, you know, they kind of got weird feelings. I can't remember if they got anything on camera, but I remember they heard some voices, if I remember correctly. Now, we leave that building. This is the part that I remember more because it's like, this is one of the stranger things I've experienced. So a couple things happen leading up to it. So we leave that building, we're walking around the campus, you know, laying low, doing hood rat shit, and we're passing a building that's on our right. We're moving towards the incinerator slash utility room. So, I mean, it's dark as fuck. And to the right, I saw a glimpse of it, but someone saw like a face up in one of the windows. And of course, it's hard when you're seeing shadows at night and figures because like your eyes do play tricks on you. Of course, like I said, we don't have any proof, but a couple of us saw it was one of the upper windows. And it's funny because when I went to go research Glendale more, that's actually one of the more common sightings. So then moving towards the incinerator, outside of the incinerator. Now, I can't remember if this happened before or after we went in to this building, but there was a bush. This is the one I did not see, but everybody else did, to an extent that like they stopped and were very freaked out. Like it was because I think we left directly after that. I think it was after. So kind of jumping timeline here, but there was a bush kind of outside on the corner of the place and they saw a figure standing behind it, and then it was gone. And I remember them being really freaked out, and then we left after. Now, before that happened, we went into this incinerator room. It's like a big smoke tower. It's one of the pictures I plan on posting on my Instagram about this episode. It's like a big smokestack. There's a little kind of brick. I forget if it was like an actual doorway, if we climbed through a window. I honestly can't remember. But this is one of the most unexplainable things that everybody experienced it and no one can explain it. So as we are entering, we're crawling through. We get through this threshold we're all in. We all get the overwhelming smell of like burning hair and skin. And if you have ever accidentally lit your hair on fire, or for whatever reason, you know what burning hair and skin smells like. I'm sorry if you know what that smells like and it's not because you accidentally lit yourself on fire. It's like you cannot forget that. Like it is distinct. There is nothing else that can really replace that smell. And the rest of the room, it was kind of looked like a utility room. Like there were machines in there, like a lot of machinery that kind of looked like laundry, maybe, you know, stuff like that. And then of course there's like the incinerator part where like you feed it or whatever. It was like, but once we got farther into the building, like farther away from the incinerator and the stack, like the smokestack, the smell completely went away and it never came back. We tried to debunk it. Like when we walked back through, like we left the same way we came in and we did not smell it. Like it's not like it was like, oh, like I don't know, because you know there's debris everywhere. It's not like, oh, it's just like this area of the... No, like we could not get that smell again. And that's something that my sister and I actually just got goosebumps. My sister and I talked about this when I was talking about doing this episode. And that's the one thing we really just cannot explain for the life of us. And I have never really gotten... Like, I don't really get like, you know, like paranormal experiences like that, that like have a smell. But again, that was just another really like sad feeling. Like you just like the whole thing was just so melancholy and like it's like you're excited, like your adrenaline's pumping. You don't want to get caught, you know, you're like you're doing hood rat shit. You like, I like the exploration, but like, I just remember like I couldn't help but feel down, you know, like you can't help but feel like, you know, feel for, you don't even know because it's not like it's right in front of you, you know, but that smell, like, so I know I said earlier, and I know like they're, you know, of course they're not going to say that it was ever used for human remains. It could have just been medical waste, but that smell is like no other smell. And you have to think, it's like, okay, at that time, you know, you have people dropping left and right. What are they doing with all these bodies? A morgue is only going to be so big. You're telling me that, like, how did they dispose of the bodies? I couldn't find a straight up answer. Like, how did they dispose of the bodies then? Were they, you know, like, you have to ask questions like that. And then after the experience we had, I mean, the smell, that overwhelming, like, everybody turns and looks at each other, like, no one says anything, but it's all like, are you experiencing the same thing I am? It was wild, to say the least. So, after that, like I said, we saw the, I didn't see it, the figure by the bush. They got freaked out and left. You know, getting on and off of the campus was obviously interesting because you're trying, like, fuck, not to get caught. But, yeah, I just remember that feeling the first time I went. I just remember, like, that feeling kind of sticking with me. Like, that, like, melancholy, like, hopelessness, like end of the, like, I don't know, this probably sounds dramatic, but, like, that end of the road feeling, like, that, like, wow, like, this is it feeling. I don't know. Like, it's hard to explain. But unless you've been to a place like that, where, you know, you can't, it's hard to describe. So, sorry this week's episode, one, sorry for the delay on this week's episode. This is my 11th episode. I actually started it like 2 weeks ago, but, you know, so sorry for the delay, but also sorry this isn't like a super famous place that, you know, you can go watch a million paranormal investigator, you know, investigations on YouTube. It's kind of more of a low-key word of mouth, but sometimes those are the more interesting ones to me because, like, I've done, like, you know, like, Bobby Mackey's Music World. Obviously, that's, like, way overdone, you know, but I still feel it's really interesting because of the vortex relation. You know, they call it, you know, the portal to hell or whatever. You know, some of the ones I've done are definitely, like, the Shanghai tunnels a little bit. That's one of my older ones where the audio quality is really bad. Like, you can listen to it, but I don't blame you if you don't. You know, the more famous places get so much hype that it's, like, there's only so much you can do on them. And this is definitely one of those things that unless you're from the area, you don't really hear about it. So again, today we talked about Glendale Hospital in Glendale, Maryland, and, you know, it being a personal experience for me, of course, I find it interesting. Where have you guys explored? Are there urban legends or, you know, famous places like that around your area that you've been, and, you know, maybe it's something that nobody talks about and you have experiences? Let me know. If you have a place like that and you're like, oh man, you know, no one ever talks about it. It's really low key. No one, you know, it's not famous and you have experiences, send it to me. I will share your story. I think it's important to share stories like that. I really do. Especially because in a historic building like Glendale, there's only so much longer that those memories are going to be even physically, you know, even have a physical reminder. So email me, arrtvpodcast@gmail.com. Email me. Share me your story. Share me them stories. God damn it. You can tell it's been a while. My mouth is dry. I'm rambling. Can you tell I'm excited to be back? Anyway, you guys, I'm going to leave it at that. Because again, I feel like I'm just rambling. Oh, huge shout out. I'm going to have to put this at the beginning. Thank you so much to those who continue to listen to my podcast, even when I was taking a break. I'm such a small podcast that I really just expected when I dropped off, when I took a break, that my listeners would too. And I hit, like, I hit a benchmark during this break. Like I said, I'm a small podcast. I only have a couple hundred listens. And the fact that I was able to hit that benchmark while I wasn't, you know, posting on social media, I wasn't doing any advertising, I wasn't even putting out any content, and I still hit benchmarks, that's awesome. Like, you guys have no idea how much that means to me because, like, you know, it's hard when you're putting yourself out there. And you don't even know if people are really liking what you're putting out, but like, that means that either I've had new people find me, or, you know, you guys have told somebody about me and you have no idea how fucking cool you are for that. Because in a million years, I would have never thought that I would have been able to keep momentum at this stage and still, like, keep momentum at this stage. And still, like, be gaining listeners and followers on Instagram, followers on my podcast, you know, it's really cool. Like, you guys have no idea, like, it's stuff like that that gives you that push to be like, you know, I never want this to feel like a job. I never want this to feel like I have to do it. I don't want it to be forced because I feel like you guys can tell when something is forced. All you have is my voice. So if I sound like I, you know, like I'm forcing an episode out, pushing it out, fucking, you know, you guys can tell. So it's really cool that I was able to still have growth, and it's like stuff like that that gives you that push to be like, you know, to get excited to do it, you know. And that's why like I came into this today really excited to record. So you guys are the reason that I get excited to do this. So thanks for picking up what I'm putting down and enjoying my content, because that's pretty rad. Until next time, you guys.